welcome to another episode of We the People Radio.
.us.
That's later, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located up on 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Go up and see them and pick yourself out a brand new John Deere tractor. Implements, you got one you got to have worked on, go up and see their service department. They'll get you fixed up. And you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! So let's see. You can always catch our archives at wethepeopleradio.us. So you have information about how to contact us if you have ideas for shows. And if you'd like to catch the archives, they go back to a long time ago. I don't know, pretty long time.
2009 or something.
2011 or 10 or something. Anyway, it goes way back. We've done tons and tons of programs on a really wide range of things, actually. And if you missed it, last week we did sort of a memorial for Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who passed away on the 19th of August. And his service was yesterday, so that was a huge loss. But all of his shows are listed on there, and his topics are timeless. If you care about the power grid, he was the man. So anyway, feel free to go back to that. Today is my brother's birthday. Oops. It's September 4th, 2022. Brief commercial break. I need to text him right now. No,
yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah, too late to buy a card.
I'll be doing that while I'm
buy a card and then just call him and read it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's my dad used to send those e-cards, and I'm like, really? You couldn't go to the effort of the stamp? Well, this is how it happens.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So today we're talking about not having a constitutional convention and why we would not want to have one. There's been a growing drumbeat out there about the Constitutional Convention, and we've got some pretty powerful people who have jumped in on that, pushing it, and it's not all on the left, which is weird. So I thought we should have some folks on and start the discussion. It's not happening tomorrow, obviously, but it's kind of something we should all be smart about.
Yeah, there's a big debate about that.
There is a big debate about that, and yep. I thought, we've never done a program, and I haven't spent much time looking at it. So Joanna Martin is a retired litigation attorney and a well-known writer and speaker on the U.S. Constitution. Before getting a law degree, she had a degree in philosophy, where she specialized in political philosophy and epistemology. There you go. That's fun to say, isn't it? Fun to say and more fun to learn. She is a former captain in the Army JAG Corps. So don't smart off, Bill, or I'll sick her on you.
Yeah, look out.
And served in Berlin, Germany during the Cold War. Today, she fights at the tip of the spear to stop state legislatures from passing applications asking Congress to call for an Article 5 convention. She warns that if there is an Article 5 convention, our Constitution is certain to be replaced with a new one that none of us will like. And just the suggestions that we've heard so far, Supreme Court with a million justices, as long as they're voting your way, otherwise you change them.
Yeah.
In many published articles, she's written under the pen name of Publius Hulda. We'll find out what that's all about. She uses the Federalist Papers to prove the genuine meaning of our Constitution and shows how federal judges, politicians, and the American people have ignored our Constitution for over 100 years. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. She knows how the people can, by learning and enforcing our founding principles and Constitution, restore our constitutional federal republic. And I think you'll understand what you can do and what you ought to know about this particular topic. She is joined by her sidekick, her trusty sidekick, Judy Kaler. She's actually the only one I've spoken to. I've been in communication with the trusty sidekick. She is a citizen activist working to defend our Constitution from globalists who would risk it at an Article 5 constitutional convention. She tracks Article 5 convention legislation and organizes the opposition to state legislatures, which are considering applying to Congress for them to call a convention. So it's pretty fun. She's also the Article 5 Issues Director for the Eagle Forum of California, and she received an Eagle Award from Phyllis Schlafly in 2015 for her work against the Article 5 convention. So, it's kind of a mouthful, but I thought we should probably put that out there so that we know who we're speaking with and what we're chatting about. And now from here on, we say nothing, and Judy and Joanna take it away. we've just exceeded our limit of knowledge.
I just have to step in and correct something. Judy Kaler is actually the strategic brains behind our operation.
Oh, darn it. Not
I'm
trusty sidekick.
Work.
Oh, come on.
I'm just the constitutional expert, but Judy is the one, is the brains behind it.
Nice.
She's embarrassing me. And
hey, Judy, you just got a promotion on live air. She can't take it back. We have the archive.
Yeah, Judy. Aaron embarrasses me like that all the time. So don't
shut up, trusty sidekick.
I want to start by saying, this is Judy, this is a really obscure issue, so if you haven't heard about it, don't be embarrassed. It is going on all over the country, under the radar, in fights at state legislators all across the country. Starts up in January. Some of it goes throughout the year. Most of the legislatures close by June or so. And most people never heard of it, and it threatens our Constitution. So here's something else to worry about if you haven't heard about it. Whatever your issue is, and there are issues out there, you know, that are a lot more sexy than this one. This one isn't. It's really cerebral. But whether it's freedom of speech, you're looking at freedom of religion, the Second Amendment, election integrity, the lockdowns, the masks, the jab, critical race theory, all of that, you're dependent upon our Constitution, and there is a huge threat to our Constitution going on right now. And it's really appropriate because Constitution Day is coming up, and just about everyone celebrates that. But do they realize how close they are to losing our Constitution? And think about where you would be without it, even though they're not using it. Where would we be without it?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's always been my argument, is why do we have to have a constitutional convention when we can just enforce the Constitution we already have, which we aren't doing?
Right.
Yeah, so take it
you
from
got
here,
it.
Joanna.
That's the answer.
Well, show's over. Oh, thanks for joining us.
Stole your thunder, sorry.
It should be that simple.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
It should be, but this is a huge movement. There's tens of millions of dollars behind this. There's many groups coming after this and pushing it. And it's the little citizens all over the country that are trying to defend our Constitution from the same people that are against your issue. It's the globalists against the grassroots. And Joanna has a way of explaining this really simply to people, so go for it.
Okay. I am a retired trial lawyer. I prove what I say. I have an exhibit list which links to original source documents which prove everything I say. Aaron, is my exhibit list posted on your website somewhere so that your listeners can download the list and look at the documents on my exhibit list?
Yes, I'll get that on there. I have it on one of your emails.
The link that is on there doesn't work. There is a link, but okay. It doesn't work.
My
exhibit list is imperative because that is the proof of my words. Okay, shall I start?
Please,
sure.
We're being moved into the New World Order, the Great Reset. To legalize it and to sever us from our heritage, they need to get rid of our Constitution and impose a new one. To get rid of our Constitution, they need Congress to call a convention under Article 5 of our Constitution. Article 5 provides two methods of amending our Constitution. Congress proposes amendments or calls a convention to propose amendments if two-thirds of the state legislatures apply for it. The first method was used for the existing 27 amendments. Congress proposed them and sent them to the states for ratification. Under the second method, Congress calls a convention. We've never had a convention under Article 5. It is dangerous. And James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, 4 U.S. Supreme Court justices, and many other legal scholars warn against it because a convention gives the enemies of our Constitution the opportunity to get rid of it and impose a new one. But the globalists have been pushing for a convention for 60 years, ever since the Ford Foundation produced the Constitution for the New States of America. Read it and tremble. Among other horrors, we are disarmed under the New States Constitution. It's item 1 on my exhibit list. In the past, conservatives defeated the periodic pushes for a convention. So Mark Meckler's organization, the so-called Convention of States Project, COS, repackaged a convention to appeal to conservatives. They now claim that the only way to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government is to amend our Constitution. And we can only get the amendments to do that at a convention. But let's look at the Constitution they say must be amended to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. With the Constitution we now have, we created a federation of states united under a national government only for the limited purposes enumerated in the Constitution. We listed every power we granted to the national government. All our Constitution authorizes the national government to do over the country at large falls into 4 categories. 1, military defense, international commerce and relations. 2, immigration and naturalization. 3, domestically establish a uniform commercial system with uniform weights and measures, patents and copyrights, a money system based on gold and silver, bankruptcy laws, mail delivery, and some road building, and 4, with some of the amendments, secure certain civil rights. That's it. All other powers are reserved by the states or the people. Item 2 on the exhibit list is a chart which illustrates the federal structure of our government and lists the powers delegated to the national government. It's a short list. We're a nation only for the handful of purposes listed on the chart. It's only with respect to the enumerated powers that the national government has lawful authority over the country at large. If it's on the list, Congress may make laws about it. But if it's not on the list, Congress usurps power and acts unlawfully when it meddles. But this knowledge has been lost, and so the federal government turned into Frankenstein. Everyone ignores the Constitution because we didn't know the enumerated powers and didn't care enough to learn. The federal government was able to usurp thousands of powers not on the list. They paid us to go along with it, and we eagerly took the money. State and local governments, educational institutions, businesses, farmers, non-governmental organizations, and individual citizens collaborated with the usurpations by taking federal funds to implement or participate in unconstitutional federal programs. Hospitals now obey federal dictates, rape treatment protocols, in order to keep their federal funding. To claim that these problems can be fixed by amending our Constitution makes as much sense as saying that since people violate the Ten Commandments, God should amend the Ten Commandments. But Mark Meckler's organization, the so-called COS organization, insists the problem is our Constitution. But obviously, the claim that we can control those who ignore the Constitution by amending the Constitution is absurd. Mark Levin pushes for a convention and claims we will get amendments to limit the federal government. But his so-called liberty amendments do the opposite of what he claims. His amendment to limit the federal bureaucracy legalizes what are now unconstitutional federal agencies: education, energy, health and human services, housing and urban development, agriculture, environmental protection, etc., etc., etc. Our Constitution doesn't authorize these agencies. But Levin's amendment legalizes such agencies for as long as Congress reauthorizes them.
And what could go wrong with that? Probably no problem there. We have to take a really quick break so people can ponder that. Be afraid.
Very afraid.
And we'll be right back with Judy and Joanna. We're talking about the Constitutional Convention not having one.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Winter getting colder, summer getting warmer, tidal wave come across the Mexican border. Why buy a gallon? It's cheaper by the barrel. Just don't get busted singing Christmas carols. That's us, that's right. Gotta love this American ride. Both ends of the ozone burning. Funny how the world keeps turning. Look, Ma, no hands. I love this American.
There we go. All right. You were saying that they want to replace it with something that Congress controls, that Mark Levin is in favor of that. Why would he be in favor of that? Like, what's his rationale behind that? Just out of curiosity.
I have never talked with Mark Levin, but as a general principle, I say that one should always check the money. Check the funding.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, here's another of Mark Levin's so-called liberty amendments. Article 1, Section 1 of our Constitution says only Congress may make laws. But since Woodrow Wilson, federal agencies have been writing rules, the Code of Federal Regulations. All these rules are unconstitutional, as outside the scope of powers delegated, and is in violation of Article 1, Section 1. But Levin's amendment to limit the federal bureaucracy legalizes these rules and the rulemaking process for as long as Congress approves the rules. Levin's amendment to limit federal spending is a knife in the gut of our Constitution. Our Constitution limits federal spending to the enumerated powers. If you go through the Constitution and highlight all powers delegated to Congress and the President, you will have a complete list of the objects on which Congress is authorized to spend money. That's how our Constitution controls spending. But everyone ignores it. Levin's amendment substitutes a budget for the enumerated powers and thus legalizes the current practice where Congress spends money on whatever is put in the budget. His amendment thus changes the constitutional standard for spending from whether the object is an enumerated power and creates a completely new constitutional authority to spend on whatever Congress or the President want to spend on. It thus transforms the Constitution from one of enumerated powers only to one of unlimited powers. And while his amendment pretends to impose a limit on the amount of spending, the limit is fictitious because it can be waived whenever Congress votes to waive it. See item 3 on the exhibit list. During September 2016, COS staged a 3-day simulated convention at Williamsburg, Virginia, supposedly to show that at a convention called by Congress under Article 5, the delegates would do nothing more than come up with wise amendments to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. COS invited Republican state legislators, and they proposed 6 amendments which vastly increased the powers of the federal government. One amendment would delegate to the federal government new powers such as I personally witnessed during the 1970s in communist Central and Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. It delegates to the federal government power over the movement or transportation of persons across state lines. This would provide constitutional authority for the federal government to do such things as require prior approval to cross state lines, require internal passports, as in the Soviet Union, establish checkpoints at state borders, and ban the use of privately owned vehicles to cross state lines. The other amendments are just as bad. See item 4 on the exhibit list. None of their proposed amendments limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. They do the opposite. They grant new powers and legalize powers the feds have already usurped. There is no amendment on the face of this earth which can make those who ignore the existing limits in the Constitution obey the Constitution. When the feds usurp powers not delegated, and when state and local governments and businesses and farmers and hospitals and educational institutions and individual citizens accept federal money to implement unconstitutional federal programs, all of them are ignoring the existing constitutional limits on federal powers. So their claim that we can get amendments to rein in the power and jurisdiction of the federal government is absurd and false. There's another agenda. COS claims the framers added the convention method of getting amendments to Article 5 so that when the feds violate the limits in the Constitution, we could rein them in by amending the Constitution. But our framers were not silly men. They never said such a thing. James Madison kept a journal at the convention of 1787. I went through it. The framers agreed the purpose of amendments is to fix defects in the Constitution. So they discussed procedures for making amendments, who should be allowed to propose amendments, and should Congress have to approve amendments before they can be ratified. George Mason said Congress might not agree to amendments which are needed to fix the defects in the Constitution. So he didn't want Congress to be required to approve proposed amendments. He also said that if a provision of the Constitution is seen as oppressive, the people should have the right to propose amendments if Congress refuses to propose them. So he wanted a convention so the people would be able to propose amendments. Now, our framers knew that our Declaration of Independence recognizes that a people have the self-evident right to throw off their government and set up a new one, and thus have the right to meet and draft a new constitution, whether the convention method were in Article 5 or not. So the convention method was added to Article 5, and it provided a way for delegates to the convention to propose amendments. But it also provided a way to get a new constitution. This is why James Madison, the father of our Constitution, warned that those who secretly want to get rid of our Constitution would push for a convention under the pretext of getting amendments. Do see at item 5 on the exhibit list. So during April 1788, John Jay, who became our first Chief Justice, Alexander Hamilton, and James Madison began warning against another convention. See item 13 on the exhibit list. COS also claims that Congress has nothing to do with the convention except name the time and place of the initial meeting. But our Constitution doesn't say that. It shows at Article 5 that Congress calls the convention, and at Article 1, Section 8, last clause, that Congress has the power to make the laws necessary and proper to carry out its power to call the convention. The April 2014 report of the Congressional Research Service shows that Congress recognizes that it has exclusive authority to organize the convention, and in Congress's preliminary preparations for conventions in the past, Congress has shown that it will determine, among other things, the number and selection process for delegates. Congress can provide for the election of delegates. They can select themselves as delegates. See items 6 and 7 on the exhibit list. Meckler's COS also claims that delegates have no power to do anything except rubber stamp decisions dictated by state legislatures. That should be except rubber stamp amendments dictated by state legislatures. But that also isn't in Article 5. COS made it up. Article 5 shows that the only power state legislatures have is to ask Congress to call a convention. Once two-thirds of the state legislatures have applied, it's out of their hands. Meckler's COS claims to know exactly how a convention will operate, but page 27 of the report of the Congressional Research Service says, in the final analysis, the question, what sort of convention, is not likely to be resolved unless or until the 34-state threshold has been crossed and the convention assembles. So we'll have to get a convention before we know how it is going to operate.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Obamacare. Pass it before we, so we can find out what's in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
Meckler's COS says a convention is safe because three-fourths of the states have to ratify whatever comes out. That's not true. Our Declaration of Independence recognizes the right of a people to alter or abolish their government and set up a new government. We invoked that right in 1776 to throw off the British monarchy. In 1787, we threw off our first constitution, the Articles of Confederation, and we set up a new constitution, the one we now have, which created a new government. How did we get from our first constitution to our second constitution? There was a convention to propose amendments to our first constitution. The Continental Congress resolved on February the 21st, 1787, to call a convention for the sole and express purpose of revising the Articles of Confederation. But the delegates ignored this limitation, and they ignored similar instructions from the states, and they wrote our second constitution. And in Federalist Paper number 40, James Madison invoked that transcendent and precious right of a people to throw off one government and set up a new one as justification for ignoring their instructions and writing a new constitution. You can't stop that from happening at another convention. If we have a convention now, George Washington, James Madison, Ben Franklin, and Alexander Hamilton won't be there. Who will be there? People who haven't been educated in civics and haven't read the Constitution we have, and persons of insidious views to steer delegates to the predetermined outcome, which is almost certainly a third Constitution. And remember that Congress may select themselves as delegates. A third Constitution will have its own new mode of ratification. Our first Constitution required the Continental Congress and all of the then 13 states to ratify amendments. But our second Constitution, drafted at the Amendments Convention of 1787, provided at Article 7 that it would require only 9 states for ratification. If we have another convention, nothing can stop delegates from proposing a third constitution with its own new mode of ratification. New constitutions are already prepared. The Constitution for the new states of America is ratified by a national referendum called by the president. Who controls the voting machines? They'll get whatever they want ratified. Under the new states constitution, the states are dissolved and replaced by regional governments answerable to the new national government. Ouch. The constitution for the new socialist republic in North America is proposed by the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. The Constitution 2020 movement is backed by George Soros. He wants a Marxist constitution. The Globalist Council on Foreign Relations sponsored the Task Force Report on the North American Union. It provides for, among other horrors, a parliament to be set up over and above Canada, the United States, and Mexico. This is altogether repugnant to our existing constitution. Before they can move us into the North American Union, they need a convention to get rid of our existing constitution. The National Constitution Center has a constitution drafting project. They have proposed 3 new constitutions: a progressive constitution, a libertarian constitution, and a so-called conservative constitution. They delegate massive new powers to a new federal government. Open borders are in the libertarian constitution. Abortion, sexual orientation, and sexual preference are expressly granted rights in the progressive constitution. This would make pedophilia and bestiality constitutionally protected rights. Mark Meckler smears and ridicules those who warn that if Congress calls a convention, our existing constitution could be replaced by a new one which imposes a tyranny. He sneers at those who warn that we could lose our right to keep and bear arms. But the so-called conservative constitution was co-authored by Robert P. George, who is a member of Mark Meckler's COS Legal Advisory Board. It grants new powers to a new federal government and imposes gun controls, with red flag confiscations. Be sure to see item 12 on the exhibit list.
Wow. We're going to have to switch to decaf now. So we're going to need just a couple minutes to do that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just light your hair on fire. I just wanted to let people know, if you have been on the webpage during the show here on Sunday afternoon, just refresh your page. There's a PDF posted, and the link is reposted. The link had an issue. So that's all. That's all cured. You can follow along now. And if you're listening on the archive, well, disregard. Doesn't affect you. It's all fixed already for you.
Yeah.
So you're listening to We the People. And we will be right back. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh, and there we were all in one place. A generation lost in space with no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, cause fire is the devil's own. Him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan spell. And as the flames climbed high in compliance, we just need your compliance. You will feel no pain anymore.
That wasn't really the decaf I promised, was it?
No.
You know, I'm always thinking, you know, I grew up in an era where everything was a musical, right? So I'm always thinking, like, if you're going to turn this into a musical, you need some music, right? That's a good one. Oh, totally scary. You could use Biden's backdrop from his speech the other night with the scary red background and the Marines, and yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, just in case that didn't frighten everybody enough.
The National Constitution Center, which sponsored those three new constitutions, including the one that Mark Meckler's board member co-authored, is a quasi-official branch of the federal government. Hmm. My exhibit list has its website address. So the federal government is not averse to getting a new constitution, it would appear.
No. Well, why is that? Because it'll just give them a little bit stronger hand.
It'll legalize everything they want to do. Now what they're doing is unconstitutional, but with a new constitution, it will all be lawful.
Right.
But COS says there's no danger of getting a new constitution because delegates can be controlled by faithful delegate laws. That's absurd. Just as state legislatures and the Continental Congress couldn't control the delegates to the Federal Amendments Convention of 1787, they can't control the delegates to an amendments convention today, because our Declaration of Independence recognizes the power of a people to form, modify, or abolish their government. So the delegates can, like James Madison, exercise that self-evident right recognized in our Declaration of Independence to throw off the governments we have and write a new constitution which moves us into a new system of government. And since it will have its own new mode of ratification, it's certain to be approved. This is why James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, four U.S. Supreme Court justices, and many other legal scholars warn against an Article 5 convention. I implore anyone who supports a convention to consider, is it possible that James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Chief Justice John Jay, Justice Arthur Goldberger, Chief Justice Warren Berger, Justice Antonin Scalia, and the other legal scholars understand something about the dangers of a convention which you haven't yet grasped. Do see Exhibit 13 for their quotes and links. James Madison warned of violent partisans and individuals of insidious views being at a convention. Are there people like that today? Yes, and they want a convention. But COS says only moral and wise people will be delegates. Right. Let's look at that claim. There are three ways to select delegates. Would Congress appoint moral and wise delegates? Would state legislatures appoint moral and wise delegates? Would the people who control the voting machines select moral and wise delegates? Moral and wise people haven't been in charge of our country for over 100 years, and that's because we have been going along with the lawlessness. And now federal spending. The Pew Report shows for fiscal year 2019, an average of one-third of the revenue each state government got was from federal funds. And that's a pittance compared with the additional federal funds sent into each of the states to local governments, non-governmental organizations, research grants, price support, subsidies, Medicare, Social Security, etc., etc. We cannot properly rant and rave about how we need a balanced budget amendment to rein in federal spending when we have our hands out for all that federal money. And all that money sent into the states year in and year out is added to the national debt. And all that spending is unconstitutional. I say, let's enforce the Constitution we have and downsize the federal government to its enumerated powers. Amendments don't control governments which ignore the Constitution. The First Amendment didn't stop them from banning Christian speech in the public square. The Second Amendment didn't stop them from restricting guns and ammo. The Fourth Amendment didn't stop them from spying on us without a warrant. The Fifth Amendment didn't stop them from uncompensated regulatory takings. And the Tenth Amendment didn't stop them from usurping thousands of other powers. But state legislatures have been sending applications for an Article 5 convention to Congress, so we the people must get familiar with this issue and educate legislators. Many of them don't understand this issue and have been deceived by COS's false and reckless assurances. We want state legislators to rescind the applications their states have previously sent to Congress and don't send any more. So what's the solution to our problems? One, James Madison said our Constitution depends on the people having the virtue and intelligence to select men of virtue and wisdom to office. But we lost our virtue and intelligence. We replaced truth with whatever justifies what we want. We abandoned personal responsibility. We didn't learn our Constitution and obey it ourselves and didn't elect people who would enforce it. We cannot restore our republic unless we face up to our moral and patriotic duties. Second, man up and don't go along with the usurpations. The Declaration of Independence says colonial legislatures opposed the king's invasions on the rights of the people. Today, states and the people must oppose violations of our Constitution. Hamilton, Jefferson, and Madison said, since the states created the federal government when they ratified the Constitution, they are the final authority on whether their creature has violated the constitutional compact the states made with each other. And when the federal government usurps powers not delegated, each state has the natural right to nullify of their own authority all such acts of the federal government. The refusal to go along with unconstitutional acts is the remedy our framers advised when the federal government violates the Constitution. And please understand, nullification is not a mere constitutional right. Instead, it is that natural, God-given right of self-defense which pre-exists the Constitution. The proof of nullification is in item 18 on the exhibit list. And stop taking federal money to implement unconstitutional federal programs. It was the states and local governments and everybody else who had their hands out for federal funds who sold our reserve powers to the federal government. Like Esau, we sold our heritage for a bowl of soup. Love of money is what's destroying our republic. So what's the push for an Article 5 convention really about? We know our Constitution already limits the federal government to the enumerated powers. We know our framers told the states to refuse to go along with unconstitutional acts of the federal government. We know everyone has ignored our Constitution for 100 years. We know that the proposed amendments increase the powers of government. We know that amendments can't control governments which ignore the Constitution. We know delegates can't be controlled. We know a new Constitution can be imposed. We know that new constitutions are already prepared. The globalists are spending millions of dollars a year to get a convention. Why? Our Constitution is preventing the political integration of Canada, Mexico, and the United States.
See, they have to do it with they got to do it with little pieces now, which is a drag. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be on news for 5 minutes and go find out why the fire alarm is beeping. Our guests are Joanna and Judy. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People Radio.
They're overheating the whole system.
We've blown it. Oh, there it goes again. So we don't have any sprinklers in here, so that's good. We're not going to get a free shower or anything, but I can't tell. Liam, give me a clue. Are we pushing the button? Are we not pushing the button?
We got to talk for as long as we need.
We got a little shy track there. Had a little snag. So we're talking about the Constitutional Convention not having a Constitutional Convention opposition to. And so when she's referencing COS, it dawned on me people might not know what COS is. And that would be Convention of the States. So anyway, you can find our archives at wethepeopleradio.us. And the one for this afternoon will be up as soon as Robert does it. And you'll be able to send this to a friend because I guarantee you they know nothing about it.
Yeah, people don't know this information.
We'll be right back.
Drew a line in the sand. The folks at Gonzales had freedom on their minds. It was all because of a cannon that had kept their colony safe. But then General Santa Ana sent some Mexican troops to take the big gun away. You know what those colonists said? Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us. So you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, gotta come through us and take it one shot at a time.